Welcome to episode 71 of the Speak On It podcast, hosted by your boy T-Lip. What up, though? What's popping, man? Hey, Speak On It podcast, we here, episode 71. Been a lot of things that went on during this week, man, in sports, man. A lot of historical, legendary coaches retiring. We're going to speak on that. We're going to talk about these Warriors that's probably on their last dance. I think this is the last episode, the last season of the last dance going on for them. Going to talk about these Lakers. They on a two-game winning streak right now, but they still need some help. We're going to talk about the MVP talk in the NFL. We're going to talk about the Pro Bowl and All-Pro nominations. We're going to tap into a few different things this episode. But first, we're going to start talking about these legendary coaches that just retired. Obviously, today it is January 11th. Woke up this morning and there was speculation, you know, all season that, you know, Bill Belichick was going to retire, if they was whatever they was going to do, or if he was going to be the coach of the Patriots next year. Today we know. Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft, owner of the New England Patriots, they have decided to mutually part ways. And in their 24 years of marriage, you know, of owner and head coach in New England, Bill Belichick is literally one of the most legendary coaches. I think he's the best coach in the NFL, period. Just his brilliance, his stoicness, his knowledge of the game, his experience, him having his team ready on all sides of the ball, year in and year out for 24 years. I just think that's legendary. This is a coach that is literally 15 wins away from being the NFL's all-time leader in wins. He has 333 wins right now. And I think Shula? I think Shula has 347. So he's literally 14 wins away from being an all-time NFL wins coach as a head coach. So that's legendary for him. This is a guy that's won 6 championships in New England. He won 2001, 2004, 2003, 2004, 2014, 2016, and 2018. So if that ain't longevity, I don't know what it is. He won one in 2001 and he won one in 2018. He had the same quarterback that entire time, but he did not have that same team the entire time. So for him to be able to bring in new guys, new players, adjust with the game, you know, the game was physical in 2001. And then the game became more finesse a little bit more, you know, it was less reckless. And it became a more speed game, you know, more up and down game. It wasn't, you know, like fullbacks are not used like that right now. There's literally teams in NFL right now that don't even have a fullback on their rosters. But in 2001, every single team had fullbacks. Every single team played with damn near 3 down linemen every single time. Nickelbacks literally only came in on third down in 2001, 2002, and 2003 around that time. But now you see 11 personnel, nickel personnel on first down, second down, third down, whatever down it is, it don't matter. This is a guy that's literally transformed the game and was able to adapt from decade to decade. Like I said, he won a championship in 2001, and his last championship one was in 2018. That's 17 years apart, and he was able to adapt and adjust and, you know, continue to showcase his dominance and have his teams prepared to win. I mean, I know a lot of people would say, oh, well, he had Tom Brady. Well, I can say the same thing. You know, Tom Brady had Bill Belichick. Because we've seen great quarterbacks, you know, and they didn't win six Super Bowls. Some of the best quarterbacks you know only probably won one ring. Aaron Rodgers, he has one ring. Ben Roethlisberger, he has 2 rings. Peyton Manning, he only have 2 rings. Dan Marino, I don't think he has any rings. John Elway won at the end of his career. He has 2 rings. So you see a lot of great quarterbacks, but they don't all the way. They're not winning rings like at the rate that Tom Brady was winning rings. It wasn't just Tom Brady. It was Bill Belichick and him having the knowledge, the system. Like, they called it Belichick way. Like, do y'all not remember that? It was the Belichick way. It was never the Brady way. It was the Belichick way. And I understand that Brady is magnificent. One of the best players to ever play in the league. One of the best leaders. One of the best winners. But like I said, we've seen some of the greatest quarterbacks go to the Super Bowl probably once or twice in their career, let alone 8 or 9 times in their career, and win 7 rings. That has something to do with the coaching, with the environment, with the system, the division. Just, it has a lot to do with all of that. So I say it's more 50-50. I know people want to say, oh, it was when Tom Brady left, you know, the Patriots wasn't good. They barely made it to the playoffs and this and that, and they couldn't compete. I mean, it happens, bro. What do the Spurs look like right now? When Tim Duncan and Ginobili and Tony Parker and Kawhi Leonard and all them left, what did the Spurs look now? What do Pop look like now? They're not winning games. They got Wembanyama right now. And he's literally one of the most, you know, sought out rookies that since LeBron James. Since LeBron James, they have literally one of the best rookies that we can even come by right now. Since basically LeBron James. And they still losing. They've been losing for the last 5 years. So are we going to discredit what Greg Popovich did? And we just going to say, oh, it was just Tim Duncan the whole time. You know, it was Tim Duncan the entire time. No, man, it was 50-50. Both is basically qualified. But shout out to Bill Belichick, man, for, you know, doing his thing there. Winning 6 championships. Damn near winning that division from, I mean, he literally owned the AFC, what was it, AFC East? I think it's the AFC East. I'm tripping because I was actually in that division. But let me just make sure. Yep, the AFC East. He literally owned that division for damn near 24 years, basically. So, shout out to Bill. We're probably going to see him go to another team, or he might take the year off. Who knows? But I don't think he's going to retire. I don't think he's finished coaching. I think he wants that record. You know, it's like when you're so close, you want the record. So I think he's going to go to a situation where he can win. I think he's going to go to a situation that has a quarterback. I think he literally is going to be the most sought out coach out there. I mean, it's Bill Belichick. And if you can bring in Bill Belichick, have that brilliant mind, you know, to get your team ready, to prepare your team, the preparation, the attention to detail, just him having the winning formula. If you can have the right pieces in place, I'm sure there's going to be plenty of teams out there that's going to, you know, want to hire Bill Belichick. So shout out to him. Shout out to, you know, what he did and what he built in New England. I'm sure he needs a statue there. Him and Tom Brady need a statue outside of that stadium. I know in the NFL, there's no really players that's bigger than the fan base or anything of that. But Bill Belichick needs a statue outside of the New England Patriots Stadium. Him and Tom Brady, literally right next to each other. They need, or 100 yards away from each other, something like that. You feel me? But they need statues out there of definitely a Bill Belichick. So shout out to him retiring. Well, not retiring, my bad. Not retiring. Moving on from New England. And I'm excited to see, you know, what's his next move. Definitely excited to see that. Moving on, man. We had the college, you know, some people call him the GOAT of college. Nick Saban stepped down yesterday. He retired. Now, Nick Saban retired. He didn't step down. He didn't get fired. He retired. This is a guy that's won 7 championships, 6 at Alabama, 1 at LSU, national championships. He has 292 wins, career wins. This just like in this decade of football, this era of football, as much as I know college football, Nick Saban has been really running things. Nick Saban has always been I remember even when he was at LSU. Like, I remember watching that I think it was like 2004 or 2003, 2004, one of those. They played against Oklahoma. I remember actually watching that national championship, you know, and that was a dominant team at LSU. And then he ended up going to Alabama and then creating his dominance and his staple there. Man, Nick Saban, brilliant coach, dope coach. Always had his players ready, always had the guys ready. He always had some of the top talent around the world. All the five stars went there. They was a five-star program. They just always had the upper hand on everybody, you know. We were recruiting, facilities, fan base, and then they was winning championships. So, the Alabama documentary going to be 10 times better than the Florida documentary. Like, Alabama probably going to have the best documentary because they have so many players that have so many stories probably of Nick Saban in different times of his career. Some of them probably dealt with him in 2009, and there's some other guys that dealt with him in 2018 just to see the difference from 9 years of the coach and his philosophies and how he has wise and experience. All of these things change you. So shout out to Nick Saban, man. Definitely one of the college greats. One of the best college coaches, you know, I've seen in my era of, you know, I went to college in 2010. So from 2010, I've always known, you know, even when I was in high school, Alabama was still that school. Alabama was that school. That's what I knew it was to be. That's what it was to me. So shout out to him, the legend, the GOAT. I would like to. Alabama's gonna look different for y'all now. I want to see like who's gonna lead to him now. Who's gonna be the leader? You know, the instructor, the teacher, the next head coach. That's gonna be something to watch out for. But shout out to Nick Saban on retiring. Great career. I'm sure a lot of his players, coaches, staff, and all of them have a lot of great things to say about him. And just shout out to greatness, man. Moving on from that, we got Pete Carroll. He had just, I don't know if they want to say mutually, you know, parted ways, or he got fired from the Seahawks yesterday. That was the shocker, though. I mean, Nick Saban was a shocker, too, but I can see Nick Saban stepping down or retiring because of, you know, how college football has transitioned the last couple years and the players getting paid and the portal. You know, a lot of guys are just leaving for money or for playing time, and it's just so much motion and traction going on with college football that it's literally no stability. You feel me? Like, it's kind of different now. It's a different landscape. So Nick Saban probably just said, you know, I'm just step away because of that. But I'm sure that has a lot of involvement in why he retired. Pete Carroll, this is a guy that won a national championship in college at USC, and it's a guy that won a Super Bowl in the NFL with Seattle. One of the great coaches, man. Like, I remember him being the coach for USC. You know, that was some of my favorite time to watch football. I remember around like the time of 2002 to 2006 or 7, when Reggie Bush was there, Matt Leinart, Steve Smith, Polamalu, Ray Malaluga, like Jarrett, number 8, the wide receiver, like Lindale White, man. It was so much talent there, man. It was so much talent there. That was literally one of the best USC teams. That made me want to go to USC. I ain't going to lie. Like, when I went to high school and when I was watching those games, I was like, bro, I want to go to USC or Oregon because I like Dennis Dixon as well, and I was playing quarterback at the time. But I'm like, bro, I want to go to USC. Like, Reggie Bush made me want to go to USC. Like, I remember telling Reggie Bush after we played him, he played for the Bills at this time. I think this was my second year in NFL. And after the game, I went up to him like, bro, I low-key fanned out a little bit. I ain't gonna lie to you because I'm like, bro, I watched you go crazy. Like, you really, like, Reggie Bush made me love football, bro. Like, he was a part of a good reason why. Like, he made me love that shit. Like, the plays he was making, big playability, clutch. versatility playing wide receiver, running back, running inside the tackles, running outside the tackles, punt return, kick return, lining up at wide receiver. Like, man, cutbacks, spins, jukes, jumping over people, throwing touchdowns. I'm like, man, this dude was legendary. Then he won a Heisman. I'm like, bro, I ain't gonna lie to y'all. Reggie Bush is the best college player I've ever seen with my own eyes. I didn't see Barry Sanders. I didn't see Adrian Peterson up there too. But Reggie Bush was the best college player I've ever seen with my own eyes. Ever. I've been watching college football since, I would say, early 2000s. Like I said, that was around 2003, 2004, 2005. But I was watching it probably 2001, too, as well. But Reggie Bush is the reason that I fell in love with the game. And Pete Carroll was his coach. Pete Carroll was the coach of USC at that time. Pete Carroll, just a great coach, man. Like, a lot of the players that play for him, they love him. They speak highly of him. They say he's a real stoic guy. He helps them, you know, on and off the field. He, you know, breathes confidence in them, give them the love, give them the wisdom. He's full of energy. Like, I heard a lot of great things about him. And I met him when I actually had a workout with him. I had a workout with the Seahawks in 2018. And I traveled to Seattle and I went up there. And he had came out there and watched his workout and put it to some drills. And he was talking to us. And you know, I just, like, it was cool. You feel me? Like, I think Pete Carroll is a great coach. And all of these guys are 72, 71, 72. I think Bill Belichick is 71, Nick Saban is 72, and Pete Carroll is 72. So all of them kind of, you know, stepping away from the game, one retiring and two, you know, Nick Saban retired. Belichick and Carroll, them two probably going to, you know, continue coaching for another team possibly. Who knows? But shout out to the legends, man. Shout out to the coaches, legends. Like, we losing some of our great coaches right now. There's a new flavor coming in into the game. You got your Sean McVays, you know. You got your prime times. You feel me? Your Dan Lennons. We just kind of going into a different time, you know, in the NFL and in the college football as well. So shout out to Pete Carroll, man. Did great things in Seattle. Went to two Super Bowls. Won one. Should have won a second one. Should have just handed the ball off again to Marshawn Lynch. But, you know, things happen. It is what it is. He got one of them things, though. Beat the brakes off the Broncos in the Super Bowl in New York. Beat them bad. And that's, you know, that's tough to get to. That's tough to get to. So, shout out to him for being one of those coaches that won a college national championship and won an NFL Super Bowl. That is dope right there. That's greatness right there. That's being able to connect with the players at a very, very high level. So shout out to him. Shout out to him. Moving on from college, man. Moving on from college. Let's kind of talk about the, what was it? I seen an All-Pro list. It was an All-Pro list. I think it was, let me make sure. I know Adam Scheffner got this on one of his on his page somewhere. One second. Bear with me, my people on the Speak On It podcast. Hey now, say now. Okay. It's the NFL Players Association announced its second annual Players All-Pro team. And at quarterback, we got Lamar Jackson. At running back, we got Christian McCaffrey. Fullback, Kyle, the fullback from the San Francisco 49ers as well, 44. I don't know how I said his last name, but you know your last name, brother. Wide receivers, you got two of them, CeeDee Lamb and Tariq Hill. Tight end, Travis Kelce. Left tackle, Trent Williams, 49ers. Left guard, it was a tie. It was Tyler Smith from Dallas and Joe Bitonio from Cleveland. Center, Jason Kelce. Guard, Zach Martin, Dallas. Tackle, Lane Johnson. And the edge rushers was Myles Garrett, Max Crosby. Nose tackle was Dexter Lawrence. Interior defensive lineman was Chris Jones and Aaron Donald. Off linebacker was Roquan Smith and Fred Warner. Cornerbacks was Deron Bland from Dallas and Pat Surtain from Denver. Free safety was Jesse Bates. And strong safety was Kyle Hamilton. Kick returner was Kason Nixon from Green Bay. Punt returner, Darius Davis from the Chargers. Core teamer, Jalen Reeves, maybe in Detroit. Brandon Schooler from New England. Kicker, Brandon Aubrey, Dallas. Punter, A.J. Cole, Las Vegas. And long snapper, Ross Matesic. I might have said it wrong, but he's the long snapper from Jacksonville Jaguars. Those are your all-pro team. They may have missed a couple. I think it should be two running backs on here. I would like to see two running backs be on this list. I would like to see three wide receivers. This is a passing game. Like, the NFL is a passing game now. It's three wide receivers. It should be three all-pro wide receivers on the first team and on the second team. So it should be six all-pro wide receivers. The NFL, I would say three. Okay, three on the first team and two on the second team. Like, the NFL is a pass lead now. We have so many guys that has these numbers. It's kind of hard to narrow it down to two wide receivers just in the first team. I think it deserves three. I'm sure Sauce Gardner going to have something to say about this. You know, he wasn't on the list. Pat Surtain and Deron Bland was on there. Edge rushers, T.J. Watt is not on here. You know, they gave it to Max Crosby and Myles Garrett. And I think the sack leader in the NFL was T.J. Watt. So the sack leader wasn't even the edge rusher on the all-pro team, first team. He might have something to say about that. I think the safeties are correct. Jesse Bates have had a tremendous year this year. I think he had five or six interceptions. One of them for touchdowns, had a lot of tackles and PBUs, made plays in the Atlanta Falcons secondary. And then Kyle Hamilton. He's a Swiss Army knife. He can play everywhere on the edge, in the box, at nickel, at safety, deep, blitz, cover. He can do it all. I can see him continuing to get better. I think they got the linebackers correct. Roquan and Fred Warner, they done their thing. They did their thing. But I think this is a good list. I think this was a good list. So shout out to the list. Obviously, we're gonna continue to see more and more lists come out from, you know, NFL Network and ESPN All Pro. We're gonna see all of those. CBS, Fox, all of that. We're gonna see the different, and some are gonna differ from the others. You got different people voting. They, you know, their perspective on what they saw and who they feel is gonna be a little different every single time. That's what I love about sports, because everybody see the game different. Everybody are looking at different things. Everybody, you know, love different things about different people, different skills they have. You know, some skills they put higher than others. I love that about the game. It's just something that's forever changing, you know, and it's going to be forever different. It's the same game of football. It's first down, second down, third down, fourth down, but the players are going to keep the game moving forward because of their skill set and their talents and their big playability and just, you know, their ability to change the game. I love that. So shout out to all the all pros that made it from that list. Shout out to all y'all. That just shows that, man, they played over 15 games, 16 games. Some played 17 games and they was dominant, you know, at their position. They were dominant at their position for 17 games. Shout out to y'all, bro, because that is hard to do in the NFL. From week to week, bro, it's a new challenge every week. And you got to step up to that challenge every week, knowing that these teams are going to be scheming for you. They're going to know where you at. You ain't going to be able to hide under the radar. You ain't going to be able to hide. Like, when you going into game plans, they like, every week when you play the 49ers, like, hey, we got to stop Christian McCaffrey. And at the end of the year, he's an all-pro. You feel me? So it's like, that just shows his dominance, you know, over the game. So, and his consistency, you know, that's what it's basically about. Durability is everything. So shout out to all the all pros. Let's talk about the MVP. If I had a vote, my MVP would go to Lamar Jackson. And this is the thing. I had Lamar Jackson in my MVP race early in the year. When he remember when Kirk Cousins had 18 touchdowns after, like, I think like week 7, Lamar only had like 8. I still thought Lamar was the best player in the NFL because he was going up against these teams and they was whooping their ass, and it was predominantly because him. He just wasn't having these rushing touchdowns or these shovel passes that they given causing passing touchdowns for now. Or, you know, it's just so many ways that you can just call yourself and get a touchdown. Like, a quarterback shuffled the ball to a wide receiver that's right in front of him, and he run for 70 yards or he run for 3 yards in the red zone for the touchdown. That is considered a passing touchdown. You know, the tush push. I think Jalen Hurts got about 15 of those this year. So are we going to be like, oh, my God, he had 15 rushing touchdowns? Yeah, it's tush push, though. So I'm not going to really – like Lamar could have did that if he wanted to. So I'm not going to put those 15 rushing touchdowns that Jalen Hurts had, you know, over Cam Newton's or how Josh Allen rushed for his touchdowns. It just is what it is. So it just depends on how you see the game. But like I said, Lamar had a lot of matchups this year where he was dominating teams. You know, like, they were winning games. They beat the Bengals twice. They beat the Browns. They beat the Titans at the Titans. They beat the Lions early in the season, 38-6. You know, they beat the Cardinals. They beat the Seahawks, 37-3. Then they beat the Bengals again. Then they beat the Chargers on Sunday Night Football. Then they beat the Rams. And it's like he was just having big wins. Like, he was willing his team to wins. Yeah, he didn't always have the numbers, but so what? It's a lot of guys in the NFL that's going to throw for 4,000 yards or 3,500 yards. But a lot of those guys aren't in the playoffs. So it don't matter how many yards you throw for. Like, it's cool to say, oh, well, I threw for 4,000 yards, but there's guys that threw for 3,500 yards and threw for 27 touchdowns this year that's not even making the playoffs. So you can't reward that. Like, you can't just say stats all the time. It's not always about stats. You got to have some stats, yes, but it's not always just about stats. It's about impact. It's about winning. That's what the MVP is about. It's about winning. It's not about who had the most valuable numbers. It's about who is the most valuable player. Lamar Jackson is the most valuable player of his team and of the NFL. He showed you that in previous years. He is a guy that we already know that has won an MVP already, so he's definitely one of the best players in the NFL. I'm picking Lamar Jackson for my MVP. I think he has over 4,000 all-purpose yards. He had like 3,500 passing yards. I think he had like 800 rushing yards. So 4,300 yards, 29 total touchdowns. Some big wins, very big wins, especially the two wins he had at the end of the season versus Miami and in San Francisco. Big wins. Number one seed. Even the losses they had, they shouldn't have lost. They shouldn't have lost to the Browns that second time. They shouldn't have lost to the Steelers that time. And they definitely shouldn't have lost to the Colts in week 3. So this team should be 17-0. You feel me? But they not. They lost them little 3 games in which they all had the lead in the fourth quarter to all of those games. All of those games they had the lead in the fourth quarter. Just saying. So that's what that was. So, like I said, Lamar Jackson is the MVP to me. I would choose him as my MVP. And that's just that. That's just that. Moving on from that, man, let's switch it over to basketball real quick. We're going to give it like a little, probably 10-minute talk about basketball real quick because, man, there's some things going on in Golden State, ain't it? In the Golden State, there's some things going on. Obviously, if you've been paying attention, Draymond had got suspended indefinitely. But now, he's back with the team now. He's practicing. They played a game last night against the Pelicans at home where they got their ass whooped. He did not play. I think he's going to probably be back either the next game or the game after that. We shall see. They haven't announced it yet, but we shall see. He's missed the last 14 games. The Warriors has been a bad team. Like, I remember talking to my boy RJ Sheldon, you know, hosted a Off the Top show. That's my dog. And I remember we was talking like preseason. And I was telling him, like, bro, the Warriors not going to make the playoffs. And he like, man, they going to make the playoffs. Like, it's you got guys like Stephen A. talking about, man, they just going to win the championship. You got guys like Woj, like, man, you just can't count them out. They're going to make the championship. They're going to make the playoffs. I'm like, bro, are y'all serious? What are y'all watching? What are y'all watching? If Steph Curry don't score 50 points a night, they're going to lose. That's going to wear him down. He's going to have to literally carry them every single night. Trading Jordan Poole was, I'm not going to say it's the worst thing for that organization because they let Kevin Durant go. They let him walk out of the door. Like, they literally had Kevin Durant on their team and they let him walk away. That was probably the worst move ever because he's the reason why they won two championships anyway. Because if Kevin Durant choose not to go to them in 2017, they ain't winning no championships. They'll be a one championship team. If Kevin Durant decides to go back to OKC or go somewhere else and not go to Golden State not winning no championships. That's just what I think. But trading Jordan Poole literally took, you gave up 25 to 20 points. That's a guy that can give you 20 to 25 points. When he was with them, he was averaging over 20 points. So you traded a guy that can give you 20 to 25 points on any given night. And not for a guy that ain't giving you none of that. Chris Paul not giving you 20 nothing. Chris Paul, that's not Chris Paul. And now you got Klay Thompson. Now it's more pressure on Klay Thompson. Like, Jordan Poole helped Klay Thompson and Draymond. He helped that entire team. He helped Wiggins because now they need Wiggins to score more. Now they need Klay Thompson shots to fall down every single night. And they can't do that. It's a lot more offensive pressure on those guys because you literally let 20 points walk out of the door. And then you brought back 9 points in Chris Paul. So they are suffering because of that. They can't play no defense. They can't guard nobody. And they can't score points. And Steph is getting wore down. You see it in his face. You see it in his body language. You see it in his demeanor, his attitude. Steph is getting wore down. We just seen this, his interview yesterday where he said, hey, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. We can't continue to do the same thing over and over again or expecting the same, doing the same thing, expecting different outcomes. We have to have change. He basically said, bro, change got to come right now. And I'm telling y'all, that's why Bob Myers left. He knew that a messy divorce was about to come because the guys was getting older and he knew that the organization wasn't probably going to pay Klay Thompson. And now he knew how that would make Klay Thompson feel and how the energy of the team would feel. Like, do you think Klay Thompson is leading other guys right now? You think he cares about other guys on the team, the younger guys? I'm not saying he don't, but do you think he's able to lead them? Klay never really been a leader like that. He's been a quiet guy that just, you know, shoot the three and play defense. But now he's, you know, kind of handicapped because of the injuries he had, and he can't sit down and play defense like he did before. And now, you know, his legs are kind of gone, and that's kind of affecting his jump shot. And now it's even more pressure on him to score. So there's a lot of things going on with that organization. And like I said, Draymond getting suspended. He's been suspended twice this year. Was it twice this year? He got suspended twice this year. For the chokeout on Rudy Gobert, and then for the 360 thunderclap smack to Nurse, Nurkic, whatever his fucking name is. I always mess up his name. You know who you is. My bad, brother. But for that one. So he's been suspended for what? 5 games the first time. He's missed the last 14 games. So that's 19 games. We don't know if he's going to come back the next game. We don't know. But that's 20 games he's been out. 20 games. The Warriors are sitting. The Warriors are sitting at the 12th seed right now. They are 17-20. Literally just lost two home games. They literally just lost two home games. Got blew out in two straight home games to Toronto Raptors and to the New Orleans Pelicans. They got blew out by Toronto and the Pelicans in their own court at Chase Center. The Warriors, we're literally watching the last couple episodes of this dance. We watching the last episodes. You know how they tell you, like, all right, bro, this the last. Like, remember watching Power, and they was like, all right, season 6 is going to be the last season of Power. And you like, damn. You like, you watching it, you knowing, like, man, it's going to end after this. Like, we ain't going to see this shit again. We're watching that right now in live, in live action. Like, they can tell you all, well, we're going to try to get it together. We're going to try to keep them together some more. And they're warriors for life, but that shit ain't like that. Of course they're warriors for life, and their legacy will never be, you know, forgotten. And they will always have love. I'm sure all three of those guys will live either in Oakland or San Francisco for the rest of their life. Because they're gonna always get love there. They're gonna always get treated with royalty there. And I'm talking about Draymond, Steph, Clay, even Kevon Looney. All of them guys though, Iguodala, Livingston, all of those guys can live there and probably go anywhere and eat for free. Because of what they did, you know, especially in Oakland, because that's where they won at. But, yeah, man, the Warriors are going through a lot right now, you know. The Warriors are going through a lot right now. And do they play tonight? They do not play tonight. Their next game is in Chicago. They play the Bulls on tomorrow, Friday. Friday night they play the Bulls in Chicago. And Chicago been playing, you know, decent of lately. Kobe White been playing well. Zach LaVine's back. DeRozan been playing well. Caruso, Drummond. So, who knows, man? I think they got a – let me see. Yeah, they got a four-game road trip. They play the Bulls. They play Milwaukee. They play Memphis. And then they play Utah. Four-game road trip. We're going to see how they come out of that road trip, man, because it's going to be tough. But – we're going to see. Like I said, man, I think we watching The Last Dance. They've been dancing for a while. But I think Steph is going to be the only one that remains in that dance with Golden State, unless he want to go somewhere else. But I don't think he probably want to go somewhere else. But we shall see, man. We shall see. Steve Kerr is not signed, you know. They didn't sign him for the extension, so he might be gone next year. Like I said, Bob Myers left. So a lot of the guys that they, you know, obviously Joe Lacob's still there, but obviously the guys that they see day to day is probably going to be gone. Like, do Steph want to stay there with a whole new coach and a whole new team that probably want to go in a whole new direction? We shall see, man. We shall see. Moving on from that, man, let's talk about the Lakers, man. The Lakers, they need some help, man. They need some offensive help, man. Bron and AD need offensive help. They need offensive help. They need a guy that can score. They need a guy that can give you 20 to 25 points every night. They need that. Yeah, LeBron can. Yeah, AD can. But they need another guard. A shooting guard, a guard that can, you know, a combo guard, a Zach LaVine, a Donovan Mitchell. You know, I can throw a Jordan Clarkson, but I want a big name, though. But a Jordan Clarkson would be all right, you know, a Trae Young, DeJounte Murray. It's some names out there, and I'm kind of getting with this name. Like, this name kind of snuck up on me yesterday. A CJ McCollum. Just imagine CJ McCollum on that squad next to LeBron and Anthony Davis. I think that's a good combination. The Lakers need that. I mean, we're seeing it. We're seeing games where, you know, Austin Reeves can't score like that. We're seeing games where D'Angelo Russell goes missing. We're seeing Rui go missing. Like, I've seen enough. I've seen enough from some of these guys. And then the other guys that we're starting, they can't really even play offensive basketball like that. It's like we're waiting on Cam Reddish to turn into, you know, that one year that Andrew Wiggins had where he can just, you know, play defense, put the ball on the ground when he need to, and shoot the three when he need to. But, you know, Cam Reddish, he kind of be up and down. He up and down in this game right now. But I think that's what they want from him. They want Cam Reddish to be Andrew Wiggins. But I don't know. He just it just ain't clicked yet. Vando, I don't know. Lakers need offensive firepower. They need somebody that can go out there and carry you through the first quarter, carry you through the second quarter, and then Brian and AD can split the third and the fourth quarter. That's what they need. AD can go to third quarter, Brian can go to fourth quarter, and Zach LaVine can fit in that whole time. They just need a legitimate elite scorer. If they could get that, or quiet is to be kept. I don't know if he's going to get traded there because they've been playing well together as of lately and it's been no chaos, but we don't know. Kyrie Irving. Y'all know Kyrie want to play with the Lakers. But it's a lot of pressure on Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka to figure something out because LeBron's not signed next year. Keep that in mind. LeBron James is not signed as a Laker next year or the year after that. He's a free. He goes into this summer as a free agent. So he's paying attention to how y'all want to go in. How are y'all going to do it? Because they can say, oh, well, he's the one that wanted Russell Westbrook. Okay, he also wanted Ty Lue. What's the problem now? Because Ty Lue is one of the best coaches in the league. Ty Lue has guys prepared and ready to play because we see it. So what? Brian is putting pressure on them, and I love it because they need pressure. He's putting pressure on his teammates, and he's putting pressure on the front office. It's time for them to, man, sell them picks, sell all that shit. Like, stop wasting his time like they wasted Kobe time for them years. Remember when Shaq left from the Lakers, and the Lakers was just a bad team for like 4 or 5 years until 2008, 2009. Like, and then even after that, after they won the championship in 2010, Lakers wasn't good no more after that. Lakers was not good no more after that. So it's like, man, you got the best player on your team. You got one of the best young players on your team right now, Anthony Davis. That's playing at a great level right now. He's playing the best basketball of his career right now. And you can see it on both ends of the ball. You got LeBron James at the age of 39. He's still able to, you know, play dominant winning basketball. You got two top 10 players on your team right now. But you need a scorer because neither one of those top 10 players are shooters. They're not like Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. They're not like, you know, KD and Devin Booker. They're more in the paint, defense, that type of best players. But you need a guy that can score points. And that's what they need to find. They need to find that ASAP. They need to figure out some type of way to where they can get Zach LaVine. I don't care about his contract. None of that shit. Because if LeBron do leave, AD not leaving. Let's say LeBron leave next year and y'all get Zach LaVine. But if y'all do get Zach LaVine, y'all going to win the championship, so LeBron is not going to leave. But if y'all don't get a big pick, and I'm talking about y'all, I say the Lakers, if y'all don't make a big move and get an elite guard next to LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and y'all keep this team that y'all have right now intact, and y'all go into the playoffs, and y'all lose in the first round or the second round, just know, bro, LeBron is going to be definitely considering leaving. And now y'all going to be left there with just Anthony Davis. Y'all have fun with that. So there's big questions that they need to figure out in that franchise right now. And we literally like a month away from the trade deadline. They're going to have to figure that out now. I don't know what they waiting on. Zach LaVine just had a good game last night. Let me see. They won. Let's see. The Bulls beat the Rockets. The Rockets are an okay team. The Bulls beat the Rockets in overtime yesterday. Zach LaVine played 41 minutes. He had 25 points, 13 rebounds, and 7 assists. He was 8 for 15 from the field, 4 for 8 from the three-point line, 5 for 6 from the free throw, 1 block, and 3 steals. Plus 15 from the, on the plus-minus. You think the Lakers don't need that? I know the Lakers need that. I know it. Like, y'all can kill me with all we don't know if he can win, or we don't know if he's a winner. Well, shit. I didn't know Ray Allen was a winner until he got to Boston either. I didn't know Kevin Garnett was a winner until he got around winners in Boston. I didn't know that. Did y'all know? I didn't know Kevin Durant. Well, I ain't going to say that, because Kevin Durant actually took his team to a finals with the Thunder. But how do we know Joel Embiid is a winner right now? He ain't got nowhere outside the playoffs. He ain't showed up and dominated in the playoffs. He ain't won a series that he was supposed, that he wasn't favored to win yet. He ain't done that. So how I know he a winner? He ain't even been to the conference finals. I think Tatum a winner. He took his team to the finals. I think he is, but we got to see it happen. So miss me with the whole Zach LaVine don't play winning basketball. He's not a winner. Man, when you get around winners, they help you. That shit rub off. When you get around winners and you want to play with winners, he's came out and said, hey, I would love to play with LeBron. And they already clutch clients. So they've been around each other. They cool. Brian fits well around a go-getter like that. Remember? Kyrie Irving, Dwayne Wade. Those are two guys that can create and play make and score. LeBron don't have that right now. He thought he had that in Russ. Thought, but he didn't. He didn't. Got to go get it. AD need this too. So now AD can be the third scorer. Anthony Davis can be the third scorer on the team. Just imagine it's not all of that offensive pressure on AD. Now he can dominate on offense and everything he do on, I mean, he can dominate on defense and everything he do on offense now is like icing on the cake. Like, think about it. If KCP and Aaron Gordon don't score, the Nuggets still can win. But if they do score, it's icing on the cake because they have Joker, they have MPJ that can shoot the ball, and they got Jamal Murray. Those are their three, like, scorers. So whatever the other guys bring is icing on the cake. The Lakers need some icing on the cake. And the icing on the cake is Zach LaVine, Kyrie Irving, Donovan Mitchell, or Trae Young. Make it happen, Pelinka. Make it happen, Jeannie. Make the shit happen. Y'all thinking about the future. You got to think about right now. You got the best player in the world right now, playing at a high level right now. You got two top 10 players right now. You can get a championship right now. You was literally 10 points away from every game against the Nuggets in the playoffs last year from going to the championship and running through the Miami Heat. 10 points. Can you go out and find somebody that can score 20 points? Yes, you can. Do that shit right now. The Nuggets wasn't just blowing the Lakers out. Every game came down to the last 2 minutes of the game. They was winning by under less than 10 points with the squad you have right now. Go out and get somebody that can give you 20 legitimate points, and you will not have that problem. That's all I got, man. That's all I got. But if you tune in to the Speak on the Podcast, man, I appreciate you. It's always love. This is episode 71. We stacking them up. We building. We creating. And that's what we doing, man. Speak on the Podcast. Lip out.